Most of you here this morning, if not all of you, have had one of those moments when maybe you were out somewhere and you came home and you were struggling to find your keys to get in your house, or maybe you were trying to find your keys to get in your car to go somewhere and unfortunately you can't find your keys. Where are my keys? What happened to my keys? And the mythical person, somebody, seems to be that person who somehow or another takes all of our keys and hides them, don't they? Somebody moved this. Somebody put this here or there. And until we find the keys, we can't get in the door, we can't drive our cars, and we can't function. When we last learned from our scriptures that we read today in John 14, of Jesus' words and promises at his last meeting with his disciples before his arrest and his crucifixion, we learned that he said to them, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I'm going there to prepare the place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. And you know the way to the place where I'm going." And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The scriptures this morning are sort of odd scriptures for Christmas time. Scriptures from Jesus' last meeting with his disciples before he died. Scriptures from the book of Revelation, of all places, during Christmas time. But there's a lot of interesting declarations that Jesus makes that would not have been possible had he not been born in Bethlehem. In chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel, when the angels came to the shepherds, they said, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." It's interesting that Jesus meets with his disciples before he was about to die, and he says to them, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." In other words, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The angels said, "This will be good news of great joy for all people. A Messiah, a Savior, has been born." Now, if we remember last time, we learned that the irony that the Messiah, this Jesus, who the world had no room for when he was born, has gone into the kingdom of God and made a place for all who would believe in him and receive him as personal Savior. Remember, we talked a couple weeks ago about this Jesus to whom there was no vacancy when Mary and Joseph came to Bethlehem, is the one who makes a place of vacancy in heaven for us. Jesus wanted to make sure that no believer would be left out in the cold. And this Jesus born in Bethlehem is our vacancy sign that there is vacancy in the kingdom for meek souls who would receive him still. Now, when Jesus says in this meeting with his disciples, "You know the way to the place where I am going," and Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I'm the way. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is implying that no one comes into the kingdom of God the Father unless they go through Jesus. And there's a reason for this. Earlier in John chapter 10, John writes some of Jesus' words. "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." In Matthew's Gospel, Matthew writes in chapter 7, Jesus' words, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So we see in Jesus' teaching, he teaches using situations or stories about a gate, a way, a road. In the book Pilgrim's Progress, a Christian in the beginning wanders in the field while reading a book telling him of his doom and the coming judgment. As he mourns over his future, he meets a man named Evangelist. an evangelist in the story asks him what he's weeping about. And Christian says he's read in the book of the coming judgment, and he fears for his own life and wants to find the key to live. An evangelist points Christian to a gate in the distance and tells Christian that is the way to the celestial city. In the text today, Jesus says, there's a way to where I'm going, and that way is me. This tells us that our King Jesus, born in Bethlehem, gives us directions to the kingdom where he dwells and now awaits our arrival. He gives us directions. So we say, why Jesus? Why not some other way? What's wrong with taking another way? Isn't there another way? And in our society today, people say, there are many ways. You just have to find the way that's best for you. You see, this way that Jesus is talking about is a direction one must go. And this gate that Jesus talked about is something that has to be unlocked, or one cannot get into the kingdom of heaven. One can have the directions to some place. They can know that place has been reserved. But what happens when they arrive? You know, we can have the directions to some place that we're going. We can have reservations made so that when we get there, there's going to be a place for us. But when we arrive, something has to take place. The door has to be unlocked. We have to have the keys to get into that place. But the problem is, you see, this gate that Jesus is talking about is something that we in and of ourselves cannot unlock. We do not have the capacity, because we don't have the key per se, unless we are given the key. In other religions and other false teachings, we're taught that it's up to us. It's a matter of what we do. It's a matter of what we think. And it becomes all about us. The key to eternal life is up to you. You need to find your destiny. And your destiny depends on you to find the key. And man's search for eternal life in the fountain of youth has been an endless, worthless search until you turn to Jesus. Because you see, the gatekeeper has to unlock the gate. The one who holds the key needs to let you in. If you're in a motel, you go, where do you go? You go to the desk. Nowadays they give you a magnetic scan card, but they used to give you a key so that you could get into your room. And for us in the kingdom of heaven, that one is Jesus. He said to his disciples after he rose from the dead in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. And in our text from Revelation today, John sees Jesus, and Jesus says, behold, I am the one who was dead, and I'm alive forever and ever. And again, he says, don't be afraid. Now, here's Jesus, who was dead and is alive. It tells us that Jesus has a key. And he says to his disciples, all authority has been given to me. I have the key. And here he says, I hold the keys of death and Hades, or death and hell. Jesus holds the key. He has the way to unlock that door. I remember one time when I was staying in a motel out in Mid-Ohio, how I took this scan card that I was given for my room, and I kept it in the same pocket as my cell phone, and I learned that's a big no-no, because the cell phone has magnets in it, and it did something to the card, and it took the card's ability to open the doorway. So I'd scan, and it wouldn't work. Something had to be done to the card at the desk to make it work again. But you see, with Jesus, this isn't possible. It's not possible. Jesus has the key, and he offers us the key, and he says, behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I hold the keys You see, nothing can take them out of His hand because all authority in heaven and earth has been given Him. He is the gatekeeper with the key, and nothing can take that away. Nothing can change that. But sadly, this is problematic because people oftentimes think, but we have the key. We know another way. We have found another way. Jesus says, no, there is no other way. You cannot come to the Father except through me, like you cannot get into the room except through a doorway that's locked and needs to be unlocked. And sometimes people think, well, someone took my key away. Maybe they don't believe in Jesus. They refuse to choose that way. And what they're ultimately doing is locking themselves out. And when they stand there and their time is up and they stand before the Lord, they won't be able to say, I don't have the key. Someone took my key. The Lord will say, no, you lost your key. You rejected your key. You did not want the key that unlocked the door that I gave you in Jesus. When it comes to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is not only the way, He's the one who makes the reservations for us, preparing a place, and He Himself unlocks the door for us. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking to Peter, and He says to Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What Jesus is talking about is that Peter's faith in Jesus as the Christ is the key to eternal life. It's the key to the divine power of being God's chosen people. And notice here, Jesus has to give the keys to Peter. Peter's not the authority, Jesus is. And He says, with faith like that, the door is unlocked. You have the key. And you have the ability now with the gospel about faith in Jesus Christ to unlock those doors, to unbind those doors for all of humanity. That's the church's job, to unlock the door by telling others about Jesus and standing firm in our faith in Jesus Christ. What's better yet is what Jesus says to the believers in our text today in verse 3. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. Think about this, so that you also may be where I am. He's going to be with us there. We won't be staying alone. We won't be just standing in the rooms twiddling our thumbs. We will be in the presence of our Lord Jesus for all eternity. And what's confusing to me is that some who believe they're going to heaven believe they're going there by their good works or their good reputation. And others say they're going to heaven, but yet they don't spend time with Jesus now, in this life. I scratch my head and I think, how in the world do they think they're going to stand eternity with Jesus when they don't spend time with Him now? It's just some thoughts during Christmas season. Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, alone in the manger in a stable, not only made a way, it reserves a place for us. And it provides an open door to the celestial city. And that one way, that one gate is narrow. Jesus said that way is narrow, that gate is narrow. It's the width of one man, that's Jesus. And it leads to the Father. And Jesus said, unless you come through this gate, Jesus Himself, this way, you can't get there. Because everything else is locked up. But I have unlocked this door. I have unlocked this door. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the gate. And unless we have the key, we will by no means get in. Jesus holds the keys. He offers to open the door. And this is our good news of great joy. That unless Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we wouldn't have that hope. Because we know Jesus was born, He taught this. That He was the only way to the kingdom of God. Then He died and showed that He knew the way and that He held the keys. Because He said, I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys. I have the key, I know. And I can unlock the door to eternal life. So it's Christmas time. It's a time to stop wondering and start rejoicing. Can we know the way? Absolutely, we can know the way. Some people say we can't know the way. We can know the way. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. Some people say, can we know truth? What is truth? Yes, we can know truth through Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm the life. Some say, can we really know whether we have eternal life? Yes, absolutely we can. John, in fact, wrote later on, I write this to you so that you may know he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. It's time to stop wondering and start rejoicing. To stop wandering and start following Jesus. A way has been made. A place has been prepared. The door is unlocked because unto us a Savior has been born. He's Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Our Lord and God, as much as